For more than 20 years during the 90s and early 2000s, the International Energy Agency, or IEA, published a report called the Annual World Energy Outlook, and each year those reports contain projections of more or less linear growth for solar power that, at least according to this industry analyst, weren't just wrong, they were almost laughably wrong. Now, as an organisation that was originally created back in the early 1970s with the specific objective of coordinating collective global responses to major disruptions in oil supply and ensuring energy security through the stockpiling of fossil fuels, it's perhaps not surprising that their slant on renewables was less than rosy. But then, just ahead of the COP26 climate conference in Glasgow in 2021, the IEA published a new report called Net Zero by 2050. And the organisation's executive director, Fatih Birol, said this.
This year, there is no need for new fossil fuel supply investments.
That appeared to mark something of an epiphany for the group. Yes. And sure enough, their World Energy Outlook report for 2023 showed renewable growth projections that were starting to look a bit more plausible. That did not sit well with the ideological zealots of the incoming Trump administration in the USA, of course, and as soon as they had the chance, Trump's minions were at the throats of the IEA's leadership, urging them to cease their work promoting the global shift to clean power and net zero carbon emissions, and instead to start pushing fossil fuels again. And would you believe it, by sheer coincidence, in March 2025, Mr. Birol made a speech at an energy conference in Houston, Texas, where he said this. I want to make it clear there would be a need for investment, especially to address the decline in the existing fields. There is a need for oil and gas upstream investments, full stop. And now the International Energy Agency has published its 2025 World Energy Outlook report. So what are they telling us this time then? Hello and welcome to Just Have a Think. The leadership of the IEA have faced severe criticism in recent years, both from the powerful men that control the world's fossil fuels, who say they're betraying the organisation's core mission, and from industry analysts who say they're ignoring the evidence that's right in front of their eyes. It's a very difficult tightrope to walk for Mr. Birol and his colleagues, and I must admit I'm very glad I'm not one of them. Nevertheless, given that they've gone to all the trouble of producing another weighty tome, it seems only reasonable to have a quick squint at it to see what it contains. And right off the bat, we've got some very clear hedging of bets in the executive summary. There is no single storyline about the future of energy, it states, which is why the World Energy Outlook presents multiple scenarios, none of which is a forecast. Those multiple scenarios now once again include one called the Current Policy Scenario, or CPS. The IEA always used to include CPS until it quietly removed it back in 2019 in an attempt to focus on more ambitious projections based on countries' policy pledges to increase growth in technologies like solar, wind and batteries and electric vehicles. But now, under severe pressure from our friends in the fossil fuel industry, the CPS chart is back. Alongside the Current Policy Scenario, the report gives us the Stated Policy Scenario, or STEPS. These are all the measures that national governments pledge to put in place at some point in the future. Almost definitely. Probably at some point. Maybe probably in the future. Probably. And then we've got the Net Zero Emissions by 2050 scenario, or NZE, which is the pathway that the world actually needs to follow if we're to have any chance at all of reaching atmospheric carbon neutrality by mid-century, thus avoiding the catastrophic environmental, geopolitical and socio-economic consequences that would otherwise ensue, and that would most likely lead to levels of global instability, food and water scarcity and societal upheaval, the like of which our modern Holocene-era civilization has never witnessed before. You know, net zero, the one the UK's Reform Party calls net stupid zero, and Trump's Department of Energy recently commented on by saying net zero 2050 is a sinister goal, it's a terrible goal. The multi-billionaires who control the fossil fuel industry really hate that scenario, and as I mentioned earlier, they also really resented the previous emission of the Current Policy Scenario, which is why so much pressure was brought to bear on the IEA to reintroduce it. And you can see why. Under the Stated Policy Scenario, oil demand peaks around 2030 and gas hits its maximum around 2035. By contrast, back over on the Current Policy Scenarios page, while coal demand drops off a bit, oil and gas demand doesn't peak at all, continuing to rise all the way up to 2050. And if the fossil fuel behemoths have their way, that demand will keep trundling along long after that. Of course, what those billionaire oligarchs, and arguably the IEA themselves, don't appear to be factoring in here, is the fact that on that trajectory, there may not be a coherent global market to sell into anymore anyway, largely as a result of the damage those increased fossil fuel emissions will have caused by then. But that is probably an entirely separate video's worth of ranting, so let's not go there now, eh? So what about renewables growth then? Well, the IEA tells us that wind and solar met around a fifth of electricity generation in advanced economies in 2024. In their current policy scenario, that rises to one-third in those economies by 2035 and to 45% in China, with emerging markets and developing nations seeing the most rapid growth. The stated policy scenario takes the advanced economy share to 40%, China to 50%, and developing nations to almost 25%, as market reforms and additional investment in grids, flexibility and storage start to overcome the infrastructure bottlenecks that many nations are facing today. Industry analysts Wood Mackenzie, who recently published their own Energy Transition Outlook report, provide us with this chart, projecting that global solar power capacity will double by 2030, overtake gas by 2033, and overtake coal by 2034. The WoodMac team used similar scenario cases to the IEA, and they've calculated that the energy transition represents a $130 to $175 trillion US dollar investment opportunity between now and 2060. Another well-respected industry analyst is Rystad. They published their annual Global Energy Scenarios report in October, and they too see an extremely rapid growth in renewables, projecting that they'll provide 55% of global power generation in 10 years' time. Rystad also offered perhaps the clearest commentary of all three reports on this primary energy fallacy thing that we've all been hearing so much about recently. While primary energy peaks and starts to drop off, they say, useful energy consumption actually grows through to 2050, and they explain that that's because today's energy system is highly inefficient. To deliver the energy services necessary to support economic development and well-being, we do not need to replace all primary energy, the report tells us, only the useful share that actually powers economic activity. As renewables and electrification accelerate, losses fall dramatically. Electric motors are 3 to 4 times more efficient than combustion engines, and new heat pumps deliver 3 to 4 units of heat per unit of electricity. These technological shifts, say the Rystad report, fundamentally change the conversion efficiency of the global energy system. This fundamental shift in energy conversion efficiency as a result of widespread adoption of renewables and electrification of just about everything is extremely good news indeed, and it's probably the only thing giving us humans any chance at all of staggering through this century with any kind of recognisable societal infrastructure still intact. But of course, the world has changed dramatically even in the 12 short months since the IEA published their last World Energy Outlook in 2024, not just in the rapid rise of populist regimes all over the place, which appears to be putting a bit of a brake on necessary progress, but also in the emergence of new cryptocurrencies and, of course, the dreaded AI and large language models and chatbots and all that stuff, all of which, we're told, consume enormous quantities of energy. Apparently, if you sit at your computer and ask ChatGPT to draw you a picture, your local electricity grid operator has to ask a nearby factory to shut down for half an hour. I may have made that last bit up, but you get the idea. According to the IEA's STEP scenario, over the course of the next decade, total global energy demand is projected to increase by an amount roughly equivalent to the current energy demand of the entire European Union, driven partly by AI and data usage, including for all those cryptocurrency transactions, but also through the electrification of cooking and other household appliances, cooling via air conditioning, and the transition to electric vehicles. And then there's the whole question of energy security and critical minerals, which is a major theme of this year's report. International energy trading links are under pressure as a result of geopolitical fragmentation, and critical minerals in particular, which underpin renewables, batteries, EVs, grids, and most other technologies in our modern world, have shown themselves recently to be an area of real vulnerability as China tightens its grip on those commodities. There's also the risk of physical attacks on infrastructure like undersea cables by authoritarian warmongers and cyber attacks on data systems by spotty teenagers. and authoritarian warmongers. It's a complete minefield. And while many technologies are advancing, the IEA report, and for that matter the Woodmac and Rystad reports, all point out that for reasons we've already discussed, momentum behind mitigation has slowed compared to past years. Despite that, and despite the fossil fuel brigade pressuring the IEA to water down the messaging, the conclusion of this year's World Energy Outlook report remains clear and stark. The risk of surpassing 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming before later stabilisation is now higher than ever, it tells us. In fact, some would say it's now inevitable. The longer we delay, says the report, the harder and more expensive adaptation and resilience will become. Governments and investors need to step up policies and frameworks because business as usual, as shown by the reintroduced current policy scenario, leads to clearly suboptimal outcomes, insecure supply chains, higher costs, and more fossil fuels locked in. Diversification of supply chains, especially for critical minerals, is therefore urgent, with reliance on a small number of suppliers and regions now showing itself to be a major vulnerability. And the transition will need more investment, not just in generation, but also in the infrastructure of grids, energy storage, smart systems, and resilient networks. Without that investment, there's a very real risk of stranded assets, the report tells us. So there has been major progress, but my goodness, there's still an awful lot to do. I'm sure you've got your own views on this one. Maybe you even have experience working with or for the IEA themselves. If you have, or if you just want to voice your opinions on the subject, then as always, the place to leave your thoughts is in the comments section below. That's it for this week. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you enjoyed the video. It's just a simple click that doesn't cost you a penny, but which really does make a massive difference to our ability to operate effectively here on YouTube. And you can also directly support me in producing my weekly videos by joining the amazing folks over at patreon.com/justhaveathink, who enable me to keep everything going and keep ads and sponsorship messages out of your way. Most important of all, though, thanks very much for watching. Have a great week, and remember to just have a think. See you next week.